Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we want to talk about hate. We're used to talking to Dr. Lightman about love, connection, and today we'd like to talk about unfounded hatred. Turns out that unfounded hatred has been following us around since the establishment of the Jewish people. You remember Joseph and his brothers, they hated each other. And then throughout all of history, wherever you have two Jews, you have three opinions and disputes and separation on the grounds of one thing or another. And when we look at our life today in Israel, see, what a surprise, nothing new under the sun, we're disputed, separated, and hate anyone who's not me. And we'd like to understand, where does it come from? It's not something we invented. We see that unfounded hatred also existed among our forefathers. And we'd like to understand, where is it all headed? Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, it's not by chance that we chose to talk about unfounded hatred today, because when we look at the Israeli society today, our situation in Israel today, we see separation, polarization, rifts which are surfacing among our people. And it really raises the question, why do the people of Israel love hating so much? Sometimes it seems that the hate connects us almost more than anything else. It's like anyone who's not myself, or anything that we don't agree with, or any opinion, somehow we want to get rid of it. There's constant friction. And it's a question we'd like to scrutinize today. What is that unfounded hatred? It's very simple. First of all, psychologically, it's very clear. A person who's not in perfection, tranquility, that doesn't have balanced emotions, that everything's pretty much clear to him, in his own circle in which he sees and feels himself, he doesn't start hating other people now and, you know, throwing things at them. Because he's calm. Calm, meaning that his ego is balanced, his feelings with his mind. The typical Israeli is very unbalanced. He is under tremendous pressure, consciously and subconsciously, where he doesn't even know why isn't he balanced, why isn't he calm. But even if he acts out as if everything's fine, still on the inside, somewhere there, deep inside, there is all hell breaking loose. And how can he overcome that? By having to show himself that he is suppressing others. Because he feels that he is being suppressed, and that he's suppressed by the nations of the world, that our neighbors are suppressing him, the government is suppressing him at work, his kids at school are being suppressed, the neighbors, a thousand different causes for concern and collision, and specifically through outburst, he balances himself. He wants to show himself that he is worthy, that he's great, to somehow calm himself down. I'm driving on the streets, like this, like that, passing from lane to lane. I have to be first. Why? And then I park my car, and I slowly go home, as if I wasn't all on fire on the road. So, what happened? Another 10 minutes, another 15 minutes, I don't mind. But when I'm on the road, when I'm next to others, I have to be first. And that's how it is everywhere. Everywhere. We're already used to it. We're despaired of it. And how much it costs us in terms of money and human lives. It's all in order to compensate for our inner imbalance. And the reason for our inner imbalance is that as opposed to any other nation, we must achieve balance. And in order to achieve balance, we really have to achieve love, connection between us. We have to discover the positive necessary force in nature which will balance us, because our people was created on the basis of completely different people connecting in ancient Babylon, those that joined Abraham, his tent, his school. And he taught them how to connect above all differences. And as a result, the people of Israel were formed. And this is why Abraham is called the father of the nation. And therefore we have to understand that to achieve tranquility and a good life is something that we can do only if we rise above our relations, above our rejection, above our hate, and clearly knowing that we're very different, and on the corporeal level, we're opposed. And above all that, we have to build a bridge, an umbrella that connects us into one. And on the inside, there is burning fire, and it's full of pride and hate and complaints towards one another. All this will remain. And atop all that, there will be a connection of love. And then love, this kind of love, will have validity. We'll constantly have to take care of it and increase it. And the burning fire of hate and mutual rejection and so on will also grow all the time. And love will cover for all crimes. That's how it's going to be. And therefore, the separation among the people of Israel is something that will constantly exist, and you can't change it in any way. The only thing you can do is to increase the love above the separation. This is our form of existence, the law of our existence that we have to study and educate the younger generation accordingly, and to teach them to live this way. Then we will be a strong nation, a constantly developing nation, where the burning fire on the inside will grow more and more, and atop that will develop ever greater love. There's a law here, you said? Yeah, it's a law. A law. Yeah. And you asked, what is the evil inclination? Not the evil inclination, unfounded hatred. So unfounded hatred means that when I start trying to connect with others, suddenly I see that I hate the other for nothing. There's no reason to hate him. So he's darker or whiter. So he's used to eating gefilte fish, Polish foods, and I'm used to eating, what for example? Chilbi, Yemenian foods. Yeah, I like it actually. And so on and so forth. Meaning, I start discovering that my hate is not founded on anything existing in this world. It's not because they came from Poland and these came from Yemen. No, it's not about that. The source of the inner hate between us is a spiritual source. That there was one Adam, one soul, that shattered into many pieces, that divided into many pieces. And since then, since the sin of the tree of knowledge, suppose, doesn't matter now, we're all opposed to one another. Or we can say that since the day of the destruction of the second temple, when we fell into unfounded hatred, this unfounded hatred, brotherly hatred, this is its source. Where does its source come from? That there was love, and the love inverted into unfounded hatred, and this is the unfounded hatred, and this is what I discover now. that now that I yearn to be in connection and love towards others, I find out that at my very basis there's unfounded hatred. To what extent? To the extent of Mount Sinai, Har Sinai, in Hebrew also meaning a mountain of hatred. Because in the past, at the top of this mountain, I built my connection with everyone else, and now it no longer exists. So gradually now, a greater and greater unfounded hatred is revealed among us to the extent to which we can cover it with love. And again, we will grow as a nation until we reach unconditional love. You mentioned the matter of unfounded hatred and Abraham. It reminded me of a joke. I remember that the sages explained that Abraham and Sarah, they converted people to Judaism. Abraham converted men, Sarah converted the women. And I asked myself, what does it mean to convert? Because things weren't institutionalized back then. There weren't any Jews. There was Abraham and Sarah. So now I understand that they actually taught them how to find the point of unity and connection above all differences. And this reminds me of a joke. This guy, he makes to a deserted island, he finds a Jew on the island, they walk around, they see two synagogues. He says, what do you need two synagogues for? You're here on your own. He says, here's where I pray, and that place, I'll never go there. Meaning that unfounded hatred is something that accompanies us. If we're Jewish, we have unfounded hatred. It's always there, right? True? True. It's a part of being Jewish. There's no one to hate, he hates him. Right, it's spiritual rejection, it's spiritual separation. So can you explain it a bit? It's what, it's a Jewish quality? Is hating a Jewish quality? We didn't come to that yet. Jews all over the world can help each other and so on. We didn't come to that yet. When we'll start connecting between us, then we'll discover that there's unfounded hatred between us. So it's all ahead. What are these rifts between us? Also seems like hatred. It's just a small drop, because we're here in the land of Israel, and even corporeally wise, we have to be somehow mutually connected. So it's revealed just a bit. But when you start revealing unfounded hatred in depth from the corporeal level down, it's as deep as the height of Mount Sinai. I want to specify my question. I think I didn't ask clearly. You're saying in the future, when we will try above all differences and disputes to connect, we'll discover a big mountain of hatred. That's in the future to come. We didn't even come close to that. That's not what I want to ask about. Yeah, but we'll have the strength to overcome it and to build love covers all crimes above it. That's something in the future to come. But in order to understand the future, I want to look at the past, because I have no grasp of the future, but I can't understand the past. I didn't simply tell you this joke about the Jew. It seems that as if when you look at history, not so far back, past generations, wherever there are Jews, this thing exists. You can hide it, you can say no, mutual help, and so on. But besides the mutual help and the mutual guarantee, there is always, always unfounded hatred. I can say, as a person that comes from that public, you can see it in the strongest way in a synagogue. Unfounded hatred resides in any Jewish community. So why? Being a Jew. I mean, it seems that because we're Jews, we have things like, we're successful, we're talented, and we hate. What, it's a part of the package? This is what I want to understand. Yes. Why? Why is it this way? Because our destiny is connection, our goal. The goal of our nation, of our country, of our life here in this world is to connect and show it to the rest of the world how to connect. So why did we get the quality of hate? It's the very opposite. No. You said hatred is a Jewish quality in order for you to have what to connect upon. Without the hate, you can't connect. What connection can you have? If I have two things and they're not so far from one another, then I connect between them with a sewing thread. If there's hate between them, I need an iron thread. If there's big hate, I need iron chains. And if it's even greater, I don't know what I have to create here, an entire system that will tie them, bond them together from all sides. You see, the greater the hate, the greater the love. because one can't be without the other. And this is why it says, love covers for all crimes, only this way. And it's specifically among Jews, and it's not yet unraveling among us. You'll see that when we will come to connection between us, smaller and bigger, then we'll understand how could it be that Rabbi Akiva, who taught his 24,000 students, he taught them brotherly love, and they fell into unfounded hatred. And what a hatred! Blazing flames that burned down Jerusalem, that's their hate, which caused this entire exile of the 2,000 years and so on. We don't understand the depth of unfounded hatred. So I'm kind of confused. To this day, I thought that to be Jewish, it means to be and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now you say that being Jewish is to discover the hate. Of course, because what can you build love on? Only atop hate. That's how it always is. We were made out of a substance called the will to enjoy, the will to receive pleasure, and therefore, the essence of our substance is to enjoy, and pleasure is felt out of a desire, a deficiency, out of a lack, that I lack something. The more I lack something, then, I want to drink so much, and I drink. I couldn't find water for half a day. Then you have pleasure. And if I have water next to me all the time and I take a small sip, I don't have pleasure. I just wet my throat. So love, like any other pleasure, but love is the greatest pleasure. It can be felt only in accordance with the deficiency that's prior to it. And the deficiency prior to it is called hate. And if we want to come to utter love, against it, there has to be unfounded hatred. What is unconditional love and unfounded hatred? Unconditional love meaning boundless love that fills my heart and mind, my entire world, and I feel everyone as one. This can happen if I gradually, bit by bit, discover a horrific hate, a terrible rejection towards everyone. I don't want to be in touch with them unless it's in order to suppress them and to enjoy in the most egoistic way. This is how we advance. And you can't build a connection unless you discover qualities which are against the connection. And these qualities, they live in you more and more, and they're burning, and you see how you hate and disagree, and you can't look at others, really. And if you overcome that, and you ask for the positive force from nature, the general force of love that exists in nature, it's only hidden. If you derive it from there, and you balance your force of hatred, that's called love covers for all crimes, and then you come to balance. But it's a balance between hate and love, where none of them disappear. That's called love covers for all crimes. You only want to cover the crimes, the unfounded hatred. You want to cover it. Otherwise, you won't have unconditional love. What does a person get as a result? He reaches the degree of the higher force. He reaches a state where he discovers the whole great big minus in nature and the great entire plus. And then he has the intensity of the whole complete balanced eternal life. Because perfection can't be where you don't have plus and minus, hate and love. You have to have the two. I lost you. I understand that rejection and hate towards others is as if the first phase atop which you can build the balancing force, the positive force. What I don't get is, what is a person's motivation? When I hate, the hate, it fulfills me completely, and I just hate. I want for the other to disappear off the face of the world, right? Yeah. So what motivation do I have to develop this positive force? Do you feel good as a result of living this way? You're eating yourself up. You're eating yourself. This is one thing. The other thing is that you see that you can't exist this way. How long can you hate another? How much you lose as a result? It's also obvious. The third thing is that if you're asking, what is the meaning of life? What's the point in life? What am I living for? I'm just living in order for him to fill my mind and heart all the time, that I'll think about him all the time, that I hate him, hate him, hate him. That's my life, meaning he, the one that I hate, he fills my life. He is boss over my life. I have to think about him all the time, and I have no choice. I can't get rid of it. Why? Because I can't overcome this hate. I can't do anything about it. I'm constantly only thinking about how I kill him, burn him, erase him. I push delete and it disappears. I had this neighbor once, and really it filled my mind and heart all day long. So, this is what I live for? I had no choice. I'm stuck with him in the same building. About the neighbor, I don't know. I have to see. It also happens at work, and there you're also stuck with that person. I sympathize with what you're saying, that it destroys your life completely. So there's a method which raises you to a higher level of existence, and specifically as a result of discovering hate towards someone. So now you have an exercise, and you can do it so that instead of hate, you will accomplish love, and then you'll feel how good, happy, joyous life's becoming. Say, did you ever have a dispute with your wife? Many times. She doesn't hear. No, I'm kidding. But sure, we're married almost 20 years. I'm married almost 3 times as much. And it happens so that suddenly you agree. You reconcile, right? And you look at what happened a moment ago, and now, what a difference between these two states. And as a result, there's an outburst of joy because of the difference between the dispute, the anger, hate you felt towards her, and suddenly love and connection. So I want for this feeling to not disappear from you, for you to have this good and nice feeling all the time. But it's impossible to stop it. It's impossible to stop because our life is in constant motion. So what does nature do? Elohim, godliness, in its numerical value, gematria, equals nature. So it creates the next hate. And you have to cover it with love again, so you have an even greater pleasure. And then hate again, and love, and hate, and love. And only this way can you advance, minus plus, minus plus. First hate, and then love. So I want to see if I understand. You're saying that when you're developing a tremendous hate towards someone, and it's eating you up until you have ulcer or who knows what, it's not incidental. It's on purpose that life arranges these outbursts of hate for you, so you give a counter response to it and rise above it with love. Yeah. So I want to understand. There's that hate is awoken in me towards someone regardless of the reason. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You don't even remember the next day why did you have an argument. Okay, so I have hate towards someone. Then I'm supposed to respond, and then we reach a state you call love. It's not simple. So teach me. You know how stubborn you are, and you're not the first to go and make peace. I know this myself. So you're asking me how you shift from hate to love. This is not for today's show. Something, first step, something. Give us a beginning. You're my student. Or not. I try. Try. Suppose you're my student. Your wife knows you're my student. No, maybe there are people. No. I'm talking about this case. Okay, yeah, sure. I'm giving you a partial solution. Okay, so you come home. And you want to present yourself as someone righteous. And you're not conceding, but you come home and you say, my teacher told me that I have to reconcile with you. I'm ready. What's good about it? You, keep your pride on the inside, and you present yourself to be righteous, a wise disciple dedicated to his teacher. And therefore you give her a hand of peace, not because you want to, but because I told you to do that. So you're as if not conceding, but you're making a step towards her because I told you so. And already you have a reason to connect. So where did the hate go? There was hate a moment ago, right? Yeah. Where did it go? The problem is that you're raising the hate and therefore repeating the same all the time. It's like a wheel that's turning around itself all the time. Can we get out of this loop? It's possible to get out of this loop if you will learn how to go in and come out, and then you'll constantly advance towards greater hate and greater love and greater hate and even greater love. And this is how it's going to be. And that's how life is, and this is what you're going to enjoy. Just like you enjoy when you're hungry, because you see that soon you'll have what to eat. And in the meantime now, you're taking a walk before dinner in order to have an even greater appetite. So it means that hate comes in order to strengthen and establish the love. And then this love has the same strength, existence, as the hate. Because this is the only purpose for which it is revealed. So, to sum up. So, guys, I want to sum it up for us. Don't think that the tip was personally for me. For Owen Levy, everyone's invited to come up to their spouse and say, Dr. Lightman taught on Channel 66 on the New Life shows that we have to reconcile, and therefore I come in peace. This is our tip for today. Dr. Lightman, please, can you conclude? We have to see that all of our crimes are revealed in the world and in your particular life and each and every day only in order for us to learn atop that how to connect between us. This is the entire reason for the existence of evil in the world. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. It was very interesting. Thank you, Nitsa. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.